sister passed away. My grandmother passed away. It was just like boom, 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 boom. My mom passed away. And it was really, it took a lot out of me. In fact, I think I took off some time just to recover from all that, because there was a huge responsibility that I was carrying. Just loving people, being there for people, caring about people. It wasn't like I was carrying any more responsibility than anybody else, but it was more than I'd ever carried before. And Dean finds himself in that position right now. And his dad is 85, was down in Arizona, and just kind of reached the end of being able to take care of himself. So Dean took off down there last Thursday, picked him up, filled a U-Haul full of as much stuff as he could get, and trekked back up here, got here about 3 in the morning on Saturday morning. But he's overwhelmed. I mean, it's so good to I love it when you worship. You're an awesome worshiper of God. But I just encourage him today to just come in and receive from God, because he really needs to get refilled, and so that he can pour out again. So anyway, he's got this U-Haul full of stuff that he's got to unload at a storage unit, and he needs some help. And he just doesn't have anybody to help him. And so I would like to try to recruit a little bit of help for him today. If you can help tomorrow at 10:30 a.m., he wants to unload that. Or if you know some people that you can grab, it's not just limited to the people in this room, but if you know some people and you can say, this guy needs some help unloading a van, it's at 10:30 tomorrow morning at a storage unit out on 38th. So the address is 1991. Great year. 1991, 38th Avenue, at 10:30 tomorrow morning. He needs to get it all unloaded into these storage units. So if you know of anybody, if you can help him and you're in the room today, make sure you let him know that, because he's going to worry about that, because he'll worry if anybody shows up, if there's anybody available. We can probably get some help from Love Inc., but if you may know some young people that are sitting around playing video games and just need something to do. Or you might be sitting around playing video games and you need something to do. But anyway, Dean, we are for you. And I just pray wisdom. Every day I read through Proverbs, and it reminds me of how much I need God. And we just pray for wisdom to be poured out on you. Wisdom to be poured out on your sister, upon your brother, your whole family, that the wisdom of God would be available to you. Just bless him, Lord Jesus. Bless him, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Somebody want to come up and get this money? It makes me nervous. If somebody just come up and grab it and go over and hand it to Jerry and Leslie, I could have them come up and get it. That's even more uncomfortable, but awesome. Thank you, Jim. So, you have notes. I'm really excited about this. I'm really excited about what's about to unfold. I was thinking about this summer and what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go next in teaching. I've had a couple weeks to just kind of throw my head and heart into something. And I felt like, actually, it came from my daughter's husband. I said, Jake. We were at Sun River. I said, Jake, what should I teach? Where should I go next? He goes, well, teach about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. And I thought, that's cool. So this, all the credit for this goes to Jake, my son-in-law. And I'm hoping that he's inspired by God. I said, yes, I'm going to spend the summer teaching on the Holy Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit. And so this first quote by Bill Johnson: there are some things God won't let us discover through instruction, but only through adventure. That's my goal for this summer. I want to get closer to the Holy Spirit. And I'm sorry if you don't like that. It's going to be really boring. If you know everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit, you're going to really be bored. But just, you know, humor me for a while. For a couple weeks anyway, humor me, because I'm going on a ride. I'm going to go deeper with God. I want to discover things about the Holy Spirit that I take for granted, the things that I don't know that I don't know, the things that I do know that I don't know. I just want to go there. And so ever since I said yes to this, it's like, ooh, whoa, this is really cool what's going on inside. And it's like this rekindling of a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Well, there's a couple quotes a little later on by Francis Chan, who wrote a book called Forgotten God, Reversing Our Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit. And he wrote the book because he realized in his own life that there was a certain amount of neglect for the Holy Spirit in his, who he is and how he moves in our lives. And so he wrote a book to throw himself back into it. I'm going to do this. I want to teach about it this summer to throw myself back into it. I want to get back in there. That doesn't mean that I'm just going to spend all summer long talking about who the Holy Spirit is. I want to experience the Holy Spirit this summer in remarkable ways. I want to be changed by it. I want to have life breathed back in me. So, and it's not like I feel a particular need for this. I feel a particular joy about this. There's a joy about just thinking about going on this adventure. And in this adventure, I'm going to come out the other side stronger, more courageous, more believing, more trusting, more aware of the Holy Spirit in my life, engaging with the Holy Spirit more. So this series is called Pneuma. Pneuma is the Greek word for spirit. Pneuma is the Greek word for spirit. And there's some definitions here out of the Strong's Dictionary. And the only thing really I wanted to point to in here was from a divine perspective. So it talks about from a literal perspective, a blast of wind or breeze. It's a spirit from a human perspective, from an implication perspective, superhuman perspective, and then from divine. And that's really what I'm focused on. From a divine perspective, pneuma is Christ's spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God. And I want to talk today about the Spirit of God that lives in you, if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, we'll deal with that a little bit later today, and we'll take care of that. Because I want everybody, part of what I want to happen is that we all go on this adventure together. I don't want to be talking about my experience this summer and not have it be your experience. We can all share this experience, share this adventure together. And I hope it stirs you up. I hope it changes you too. So let's start off here. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a thing. It's not a power. It's a person. And this is really difficult for us to think that we have a person living inside of us. I mean, they have medical names for that. When you have a person living inside of you. That's not what we're talking about. But from a divine perspective, we have a person who lives inside of us. He's the Holy Spirit. Now, let me clear this up. A lot of people have become ultra sensitive in the last couple of years to the use of that word the in front of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, so why do you call him the Holy Spirit? Let's just call him Holy Spirit. I understand what you're saying. But the Bible is full of references to the Holy Spirit. So don't get weird. Don't get geeky on the whole thing. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, and it's not wrong. I understand what we're saying, and there's an aspect of calling him Holy Spirit. But in the Greek, it's interesting that there is a pronoun for he, a male pronoun. There's a pronoun for she, a female pronoun. But there's also a pronoun that is non-gender. That's not it. It's the pronoun that speaks of a person, but it can be either gender. And that's always the pronoun that's used for the Holy Spirit. So in Greek, there was an understanding that there is a reference to neither male nor female, but still a person. And we don't have that word in our English language. We don't have that so it doesn't translate very well. But the reality is that when the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, it's not a he or a she, but it's a person. And it's not a it or a thing, but it's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. So I put down some different aspects of what the revelation of how the Holy Spirit is a person down here for you. I'm not going to go through them all, but there's some really, I mean, once you look at this, you really see clearly that the Holy Spirit is not an it or a thing. Holy Spirit thinks and reminds us of things. The Holy Spirit speaks. This is really interesting that the Spirit of God that lives within us speaks. It has a voice. The Holy Spirit has a voice. He has a voice. The Holy Spirit has a voice. He speaks. And you can hear the voice of the Spirit. We're going to talk more about how that whole dynamic works, but it's remarkable that the Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit makes decisions. The Holy Spirit can be outraged. The Spirit of God that lives in you can be outraged. The Holy Spirit can be lied to. The Holy Spirit can forbid or prevent human plans. The Holy Spirit searches everything and comprehends God's thoughts. The Spirit that's in you knows what God's thinking. When Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, I only say what I hear the Father saying, the Holy Spirit inside of us says, I know every thought that God has, and I can reveal his thoughts to you anytime I want. You can know the thoughts of God because the Spirit of God dwells within you. One of the things I hope we realize through the summer, I hope I get to this place, is I hope it hits me the reality of what's going on inside my own life, my own body, my own spirit all the time. I hope it gets dialed up in me because you can kind of take it for granted. You know, and I understand, oh, I just love Jesus. Well, the reality is you can't love Jesus without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to love God without God. You need God to love God. It's required that God gives us the ability to love him. And so any kind of love that we have, but especially the love that we have for the Father, comes from the Spirit. I'm going to be all over the place because that's just where my heart's at right now. The Spirit portions spiritual gifts, gives spiritual gifts according to what he wants to do. You can cry out for spiritual gifts, but the Lord will give you spiritual gifts, even the spiritual gifts that you're not asking for, he'll give you those. The Holy Spirit helps us, intercedes for us, has a mind, the Holy Spirit thinks. The Spirit bears witness to all believers about their adoption. The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ, takes what is Christ and declares it to believers. For those Justin Bieber fans, I put that in there just for you. No, that's not that's a mistake. Sorry. Anyway, the Holy Spirit has emotions. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. I think that's a weird thing, that we have a spirit that dwells within us that can be grieved. In other words, the Holy Spirit can be sorrowful. There are things that the Holy Spirit experiences, places we take him, things that we do while he's, you know, residing inside of us that can grieve the Holy Spirit. We think that what you know, happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. The reality is everywhere we go, Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is dwelling with us, and the Holy Spirit is aware of everything that we see and hear and do. That's kind of weird that everywhere we go, the Spirit of God, the divine Spirit, the Spirit that comes from God, goes with us everywhere we go. Here's what we say. Sees what we see. God created feelings. They can be misused and abused, but the intent and purpose of feelings comes from God. God has feelings. If you really want to know about the personhood of the Holy Spirit, one guy said, ask yourself this question. I think it was Tim Keller said this. If you really want to know whether the Holy Spirit's a person, ask yourself this question. Is the Father a person? Is the Son a person? Then the Holy Spirit's a person. And if you look at them, if you look at their divine personalities, their divine character, you can find out pretty quickly that the Holy Spirit is a person. But the Holy Spirit has feelings. The intent and purpose of these feelings comes from God. Since he created emotions, why is it difficult to believe that he himself has emotions? The Spirit is grieved, and this is really where what I want to key on for just a second. The Spirit is grieved when there is a breach in relationship. When there's a break in relationship, That's what grieves the Holy Spirit. We think the Holy Spirit is grieved when we say bad words or when we sin or whatever. That's not really what grieves the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is divinely interested in relationship. If the Spirit of God dwells within your spirit, there is a relationship there. There's a relationship between your spirit and the Holy Spirit. When that relationship is broken or severed, it's disastrous for us. But when our relationships with each other are broken, then it's disastrous for us. Jody and I were talking about this last night because I was impressed by the fact that the Spirit of God that's in her and the Spirit of God that's in me is the same Spirit. And when we aren't doing well, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And newsflash, there are times when we don't get along. There are times when we go head-to-head. We're both very hard-headed. We're both very stubborn. But we're both very passionate, too. And when our relationship, there's a brokenness there, I think it grieves the Holy Spirit. That realization yesterday was profound for me because it's not only that I don't want to hurt my wife, but I don't want to grieve the Spirit that dwells in her. I don't want to grieve the Spirit that's inside of me. It's really kind of overwhelming at times when you start going down this road. That's why I think Bill Johnson said it's not about getting more information. It's not about instruction. It's about an adventure. If we go down this road of discovery with God, discovering who the Holy Spirit is, I think we're going to be changed by it. The Spirit is grieved when there's a breach in relationship, whether it's a relationship with God or relationship with other people. Listen to what Francis Chan says in his book, Forgotten God. The Spirit is grieved when there's... Did I just say that? Yeah. When we are disunified, unloving, hateful, jealous, gossipy, that's when we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we are involved in, and you know how powerful our tongues are. You know how we can cut things down and slice and dice and make people feel small so that we feel big. Whenever that happens, the Holy Spirit is grieved. And my question now is like, how does the Holy Spirit put up with this? How does the Spirit of God put up with this when we are this? Whatever we are. Whatever we are, you know, when we're this unaware, when we're this insensitive, how does the Holy Spirit stick with us through everything? He's got to be God for that reason alone, that he doesn't bail on us because we're so inept when it comes to relationships. If he's grieved at broken relationships, we keep the Holy Spirit really busy, really busy. So, the Holy Spirit indwells all believers. Let's look at this whole idea of indwelling. There are three scriptures, main scriptures, that point to the reality or the truth that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Three of them that most theologians, most scholars go to and say, this is proof that the Holy Spirit dwells in all believers. Not just some believers, but all believers. So at the point that we believe, at the point when we receive Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and fills us. This freaks me out because it's different for everybody. How many of you had kind of, just raise your hands if you had kind of an explosive, powerful experience with God and that's how you got saved? So about maybe half, maybe a third. How many of you, it was a process? My hand's up for that one. It was a process for me. Both. Both, it was boom and then a process. It's really that's the way it is, yeah. So at the point that you believed, I thought I was a Christian probably a year and a half before I actually believed and became one, I think. I don't really know. I can't really tell. I opened the door for him to come into my life and have an influence over me, but it was a point about a year, maybe, was it a year? How long were we in Everett? A year? About a year afterwards, we were up at a church in Everett, and I kept doing this thing. I know I've shared this a lot, but it's my testimony, so back off. But I kept going responding to altar calls. I kept responding to invitations to come up and be saved or be healed or be set free, whatever. And I just kept doing it. And because I don't know, I must have felt like it wasn't a done deal. Like, I don't want to miss, if there's more, I want more. So I'm going to just keep doing this. And so I was up in Everett, and apparently, I didn't realize this, but Jody told me that I wasn't very close to God at that time. I was a playing Christian, kind of like enjoying the benefits of Christianity, which part of it was being married to her. But I really wasn't alive inside with it. And I remember sitting there, and Pastor Tom did an altar call, and I'm sitting there in my chair with my head down thinking, I feel like I need this too, Lord. Should I come up? Should I go up there? Because I just want to respond. I don't want to hold back. I want to be there, and I want to respond to you whenever you're. And the Lord said, how many times are you going to do this? And that's it. That's what I heard in my head. How many times are you going to do this? And I sat back in the pew, and I thought, I must be saved. I must believe. And I think my response to that relatively sarcastic comment by God, how many more times are you going to do this? I think that was a confrontation of faith for me. I think it was an opportunity for me to extend faith into a relationship. And I think that's the point at which I got saved. If I look back, I would think that was the place that I believed. It's a tricky thing, though. I mean, I heard one guy talk about it this way. The Holy Spirit's active in our salvation. He's active in our salvation experience. Much more than we realize. Much, much more than we realize. Many of us we accepted Jesus because it sounded like a good idea. Many of us accepted Jesus because we were kind of down and out and hurting, and it was a way of getting back on track or relief or hope or faith. Some of you grew up in church, and you may not even know when you got saved. You just grew up there, and finally at some point you said, okay, I give in, I'll do this. I don't know, it's different for everybody. But the Bible only says there's one way in. There's only one way to become a child of God, and that's to believe. And there are no other strings attached. It's just believe. When we believe, we receive salvation. When we believe, Jesus becomes Lord of our life. When we believe, there's a whole lot of things that happen, but one of those things that happens is the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us at that point that we believe. Anyway, this guy was saying, he goes, that was a revelation that the Lord gave him, that the Holy Spirit took people to the cross and stood there next to them. He led them to the cross of Jesus, stood there, and they gazed upon Jesus on the cross. And the Holy Spirit gave them an opportunity to believe. And I thought, that's so cool. What an experience that would be if that was my salvation experience. The Holy Spirit led me to the cross. I was standing before Jesus, and as I looked at his bloody, mangled body, I believed that he is who he says he is, that what he says is true. Sometimes I think we make it way too easy for people to get into the kingdom. I think the Holy Spirit really wants it to be a reality for us. I wish somebody would have taken me by the hand and said, listen, think about this for a minute. You say you believe. What do you believe? How do you believe? What difference has it made in your life? Is it real to you? I wish somebody would have done that to me. I wish somebody would have sat me down and said, I do this with people who are getting married. Sometimes I'll say, why are you getting married? And they'll say, well, because we love each other and we want to spend our lives together. I go, yeah, but you don't have to get married. You could live together. Why don't you just do that? And it's like freaks them out. What I want them to do is I want them to fight for it. I want them to convince me that there's nothing in the world that matters more than getting married at this point. I want them to like get a little emotional about it. You know, yeah, we're getting married. Our families are happy. We're going to do this and do that. How many kids are you going to have? Part of me wants to say, no, you can't get married until you convince me that it's a good thing. It's the right thing. You convince me that this person is the person you're going to stay with for the rest of your life. You convince me that everything inside of you wants this person. You don't want anybody else. Because when you say you want this person, you're saying no to every other woman or man on the earth. Convince me that that's true. And then we'll see. It just sounds cool to say. I would never do that. but it sounds cool to just say, I want to know. I want to know whether you really believe that this is the person. I think sometimes it would be great for us to have gone through that in our salvation experience too. Tell me you believe. Why do you believe? What is it that you believe in? Do you just believe that he loves you? Is that it? Well, yeah, that's part of it, but there's so much, and the Holy Spirit is available to us to help us in that process. The Holy Spirit is just excited about the fact, right before somebody gets saved, I think the Holy Spirit's going, oh, this is going to be so much fun. I can't wait. Because after they make this step, then I get to go live in them. I get to dwell inside them. I get to jump inside them, and I get to stay there forever. And everything in their life will change. It's so much more dramatic than we realize. And American Christianity is so boring sometimes. It's like we make it so easy. You can slip in and slip out and be a Christian one day and next day you're not. And I know there's a lot of, I talked to somebody else yesterday whose daughter is really having a crisis of faith and she doesn't know whether she believes. In fact, she says that she doesn't believe. I don't buy it for a second, but she says she doesn't. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with the parents. It's not that they did anything wrong, but at some point, the question comes because it's a choice. I can either stay in or I can get, I don't have to stay connected with God. I have an option here. I have options. I don't have to stay connected with him. I couldn't walk away. I mean, you can, but it's like, I don't want it to be okay that I can walk away. I want it to be severe in my heart that I'm connected with him. And I think it's the Holy Spirit that maintains that connection. I think sometimes we ignore the Holy Spirit and it makes it easier for us to walk away. Because, any relationship you have with Jesus is dependent on the Holy Spirit, right? You can't have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus lives in our hearts. Sometimes kids will say, I want to invite Jesus into my heart, right? Have any of you had your kids do that? I want to invite Jesus into my heart. That can't happen without the Holy Spirit. Jesus has a body. When he came to earth in Mary's womb, and he was a child that grew up into a man, and that man was killed and went back to heaven, he still has a body. He can't come and live with you. He can't come live in you in bodily form. That's awkward, Plus, the only way he can be everywhere all the time is because of the Holy Spirit. The only way he can live in you is because of the Holy Spirit. The only way that you know who he is and how he thinks and what he's like is because of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and soon he's going to return. But he's also in you, and that's because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows that to happen. The Holy Spirit gives an open door for that to happen. That's ridiculous that the Holy Spirit lives in us that way. Let alone the Father and all of his love for us and the adoption process that it talks about in Romans. That's all enabled by the Holy Spirit. That's why Francis Chan freaked out and wrote the book Forgotten God, is because the Holy Spirit is so much more powerful than we give him. Anyway, there's three scriptures. Let's do this. So the first one's in 1 Corinthians 12. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we all, keyword, all have been baptized into one body and by one Spirit. And we all share the same Spirit. Paul could not have said that we were all baptized into one Spirit and given the same Spirit to drink unless all of the Corinthian believers possessed the Holy Spirit. So that's the scriptural evidence for all believers. He doesn't pick some to dwell within and some not to. If that was true, I don't think I would have got it until Everett. But the reality, the reality is he was probably in me. I just didn't realize it. I didn't grab a hold of it. I didn't access it until that point. But he lives in all of us. The Spirit lives in all of us. The second is in Romans chapters 8 and 11. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Now that flows, and it's nice, and it's beautiful language and kind of poetic, but there's huge ramifications of what are in that section of Scripture. Huge ramifications. If a person does not have the Spirit, he doesn't belong to Christ. That's what it's saying. Therefore, the possession of the Spirit is an identifying factor in the possession of salvation. If you don't claim that the Holy Spirit is in you, then you really don't have any claim for salvation either. That's really critical, that salvation is connected with that indwelling Holy Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And that's the possession of that is linked to the possession of our salvation. That's what that section of Scripture is saying. If the Spirit of lives in you, if the Spirit of God lives in you, if you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, you don't belong to Christ. That's a big deal. That's a convincing argument to say, yeah, the Spirit of God dwells in me. If I'm a believer, he dwells in me. He lives in me. And the third is in Romans 8, 15, and 16. You have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So when we believe in Jesus and who he was and what he did, and we receive the salvation that he has to offer us, and we repent of our sins, out of 1 John 1:9, repent of our sins, confess our sins, repent, we're forgiven. He says he will forgive us. The promise is that he will forgive us. When that happens, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within our spirit. And sometimes it takes time, but it takes a little time for it to manifest in a powerful way, but it happens for everybody at that point. One of the illustrations I wanted to do, but I thought it was kind of hokey, was put a pitcher of water here and put a tea bag in the water. And as the tea bag sits in the water becomes more and more the color of the tea. It's that way with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us, he starts changing our spirit. Our spirit starts conforming to the Holy Spirit within us. Our spirit becomes more and more aware of what the Holy Spirit wants. Isn't that true in our lives? Isn't that way it worked? It's like at first you didn't really have any idea how this whole thing worked, and then slowly over time, the Holy Spirit begins to bring revelation to you of how powerful he is. Now, some of you walk with God a long time, and this is really rudimentary for you, this whole idea of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. But it's still an adventure. There are still things yet to be revealed. There are still deeper places to go with God, higher places to go with God. There are still more challenges. So the Holy Spirit never stops working in our lives. The Holy Spirit is always active inside of us, changing things. Our spirit has yet to experience everything that it can through the Holy Spirit. And I don't think we will. I think that's why the Bible talks about it being such a profound thing. When we come face to face with Jesus, we'll be changed because we'll see him as he really is. Right now, the Holy Spirit's revealing to us who he really is. But when we see him face to face, we'll see him the way he really is. And the Holy Spirit will go, see, I told you. I told you this is what he's like. I told you. He's like, you'll fall down. You will fall down on the ground. Remember all those people you rebuked for falling down on the ground? You're going to fall down just like them because he is so amazing and so powerful. The Holy Spirit would get really excited about this stuff because he can't wait for this to happen. It's such a cool thing. And crazy, he lives in every single person who calls on the name of Jesus and believes. Every person. I don't know how he does it. A busy dude, the Holy Spirit. Really busy. Where am I? This is a remarkable truth. It says right there, his spirit is joined with our spirit. And the implications of that are huge. They're huge. And I don't think we can exhaust the revelation that can come through that experience. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view of redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. The Holy Spirit is a seal of our salvation. So it's not just an indwelling spirit that gives us life and hope and peace, truth, revelation, but it's also a seal of what we've been promised at the end, the salvation that we have at the end, the eternity that we have with him. I know. Every once in a while, I just need to pause and realize that what I'm doing right now can't be done without the Holy Spirit. And that what I'm doing right now, just sharing some things with you, is authored by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God that's in me, that's provoking me to say these things, is also in you. Spirit of God, I just want to be honest with you and honest with these people. I want us to experience you more than I want to just talk about this. There's no magical thing with me closing my eyes. I just don't want to look at you because you distract me. Because there's something real happening inside of all of us right now. It's not about a sermon. It's about an adventure with the Holy Spirit, discovering him, the depths of who he is in us. And there's no end to this resource. You can't tap it out. It just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. More and more and more and more. Don't let me ever take control, Lord. Spirit of God, I want you to be first. I want you to be first. Francis Chan said this: know that even as you seek to understand the Spirit more, he is so much more and bigger than you'll ever be able to grasp. This is not an excuse to stop seeking to know him. But don't limit him to what you can learn about him. The point is not to completely understand God, but to worship him. Just let that sink in. The point is not to completely understand God. I know lots of people who understand him. But I want to hang out with the people who worship him. I know lots of people, there are a lot of books, a lot of videos, podcasts where people talk about God. But I want to talk to the one who's experienced him. I want to hear that voice. This book that he wrote came out of frustration from pastoring a huge church in Simi Valley that was very, very popular and very accomplished. Cornerstone Church, where Francis used to pastor, was a really successful church. And he threw it all away because he wanted the real thing. Anybody with a charismatic personality can start a church. You get a good worship team. You get some people who can run the sound and lights. You get people who can pay the bills. And you'll have a successful church. Anybody can do that without the Holy Spirit. Anybody can orchestrate a service that will move people's hearts without the Holy Spirit. That's scary that you can do this without him. And it wasn't that Francis's church was a bad church. It's just that they were on a roll. They know it was happening. And it was like there's momentum with success comes momentum. I remember telling somebody one time who was in music, I said, your problem is not failure. Your problem is success. If you get successful, you're not mature enough to handle it yet, and it's going to ruin you. And it did. Success is what takes us out. It's not failure. Failure actually makes us thrive. The resistance makes us move with more passion, more resiliency. It's success that takes us out. It's success that saps all of our strength, that makes us comfortable, and it's success that's boring. It's not. I remember when we first walked into this building, the first time I walked into it, it had been a bingo hall for a lot of years, and you could smoke in that bingo hall, and all the smoke was on the walls, dripping down the walls. And you, the first time I walked in here, I was in here for about 10 minutes meeting with the owners, and walked out, and I smelled like smoke, just walking in the building. And I remember the first time I said, hey, you guys, come to look at this building. And we came in here, and it was like, you got to be kidding me. This is so much work. It's going to take so much work. But the first time I walked in that door and walked into the building, this is what I saw. I saw this. I saw it. I could see it. I could see it with my eyes. I could see what this could become. And we did. We came in here and set up camp and started getting TSP and washing every wall in this place. And it was a huge endeavor. And it was a huge amount of work. And we just poured ourselves into it. And everybody did it. And we were working together. And it was hard work. And we became like family. Because we were working on something together. The thing that scares me about this is you can walk in and it feels like everything's done and there's nothing left to do. And in some ways, it's healthier. It would be healthier just to dump this thing and start again because we would work together. Except I don't have the energy to do this anymore. But I mean, to work together again to move towards something that we want to try to achieve together would draw us closer together. The comfort sometimes makes it feel like we're okay and we don't need anything, including the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God every single breath we take. Not just when we come to church on Sundays to orchestrate a service. When you walk out of this building, you're going to need the Spirit of God to breathe life into you and give you hope. Anyway, I should finish this. Let the very fact that you cannot know him fully lead you to praise him for his infinite grandeur, infiniteness and grandeur. The point is not to completely understand God, but to worship him. That's where I want to live my life. I was listening to a teaching by Bill Johnson the other day where he's talking about his relationship with the Holy Spirit. He called it fellowship with the Holy Spirit. His fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Like you and I can go out and have coffee together and down at Hearth or at Red Leaf or wherever, but Starbucks. We'll go have coffee together, and that's fellowship. We'll sit down and talk. There's conversation back and forth. It's relaxed. It's enjoyable. There's no pressure. We're not trying to make anything happen. We're just being friends. We're just enjoying each other. And Bill's saying that that's the relationship I want to have with the Holy Spirit. I want to have that kind of relationship with the Holy Spirit. So does the Father. Look what he says. The Father in heaven is jealous for fellowship with the Holy Spirit in you. The Father in heaven is jealous for the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. He can see, as he looks down on Kelso Longview, he can see the Spirit of God dwelling in his people. He can see that. I don't know how. Maybe it's the 1,000 points of light that Bush saw or something like that. But he looks down and he sees the Holy Spirit in each one of us. And he's jealous for a relationship with his Spirit that's in you. It's not just that he wants to be with you. The Father doesn't just want to spend time with you. He's jealous for fellowship because the Trinity are one. In spite of the fact that he lives in all of us, Even when Jesus came down to earth, the Trinity are one. They're all one. The three are one. And he longs for relationship with the Spirit that's in you. So right now, the Father in heaven and Jesus by his side are jealous for what's happening in you. Close your eyes for a second. A Father in heaven is jealous for what's inside of you. He wants it. He wants to not just know that it's real. He doesn't want to just know that you're a Christian, know that the Spirit is in you. He wants to fellowship with his Spirit in you. And it's crazy what's happening right now in heaven. The love that he has for his Spirit. The love that the Father has for the Spirit and how jealous he is for you. Let's talk about one more thing and then we're going to wrap this up. That's this whole idea of the divine Spirit being mingled with our human spirit. For those who believe in Christ, there are two spirits, these two spirits are not separate, but they're united. Brian Simmons in the Passion Translation talks about them being mingled together. They're mingled together. Like if you took a pitcher of iced tea and a pitcher of lemonade and poured half and half into a glass, what would you have? Arnold Palmer, right? What, do you guys ever go out and have Arnold Palmer, lemonade and iced tea? Those two liquids are mingled together and become a tasty beverage. You know, in the same way, the Holy Spirit and our spirit are in this container called the human body, and they're mingled together. It's not that the Holy Spirit stays on the right side of your body and your spirit stays on the left side, or that your spirits can somehow contain the Holy Spirit, because I think the Holy Spirit is hard to contain. But the Spirit of God and your spirit dwell within the same container, and they're mingled together. And so when the Father is jealous for to have fellowship with his Spirit that lives in you, your spirit can't help but be involved in it, because they're mingled together. They're part of one another. They're connected with one another. So as the Father's looking at the Spirit in you, Rafina, and he sees the Spirit in you, he also sees your spirit mingling with the Holy Spirit. And he's like, oh, this is so good. And everyone's different. And everyone's distinct. And everyone's beautiful. The Father is not bored in heaven. If this is what's happening, he's so jacked all the time about everything that's going on everywhere in the world, because he sees his spirit in people on the earth. And he's jealous for relationship with that spirit. And we get caught up in it. It's like, partying with your friends. I mean, like, at some point you just let go and you just become part of what's going on. And I think a lot of times in church that's what happens. We just let go and become part of what's going on. I love the way David leads worship, because there's no room to escape. He just comes and he gets right in your face and goes right down your throat with it, you know? And it's like you're listening for a while, and it's quiet and it's gentle, and all of a sudden it's like, and there's one guy on stage and a couple people back. And it's just like he gets you. He gets into you. It affects you. It changes. I think the Holy Spirit does the same thing with us. He gets into us and he changes the atmosphere inside of us. And it makes anything possible. Anything could happen. There's no limit to what God can do inside of us because of that. That reality is powerful for us. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, Paul says, the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That's freaky. The person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. One spirit with the Father, one spirit with Jesus, because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The divine spirit and our human spirit are made one. The Holy Spirit appears 59 times in the book of Acts, and 36 of those times he's speaking. Tell me that's not a person. He's speaking. The Holy Spirit said. The writers of the Bible say, the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit is in you, and he can speak to you right now. Want me to prove it? Close your eyes. And just try to pretend like you're not here in church with all these people. Just be. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to us. Speak to me. The Holy Spirit is not hard of hearing or slow to act, so he probably said something already. How many of you heard something from the Holy Spirit inside of you? Let's wait a couple of seconds more. Just be still. Okay. How many heard the Holy Spirit say something? Speak to you. What do you say, Cindy? Jody? Okay. Anybody? Want to share? Audrey? That's awesome. He said to me, you're my beloved and I'm never going to leave you. I must have needed to hear that. Dean?
You haven't seen nothing yet.
Yeah. 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 Oh, anything could happen, huh? What? Who? Rick, what'd he say? Bathtub. You've already been made clean. Yeah. Leslie, what'd he say?
He said be incorporated. And what he showed me was, I've always had kind of crappy blenders. So I got a really good one. And he said be incorporated. Get in the blender. And you know what those good blenders do? With anything you put in it, and he just swirls it around.
Becomes one.
He does that with us every time we get together corporately.
Yeah. Go for it. Fly out of your seat. Yeah, Audrey?
Henry was sharing something. I wanted to hear what he was saying.
Go ahead, Henry.
No, you said it was really funny.
You have to do what Audrey says. I'm just kidding. Anybody else? What do you hear? Kevin? Shekinah. What did that mean to you? Did he say Shekinah like you? Anybody else? I love hearing. Yeah. Ladies first. And then patience. Everything's coming together. Yeah.
He mentioned
Matthew. So, is that guy a Christian? Is that person a Christian?
I have no idea. I barely know them.
Ah. Huh.
It wasn't a guy, it was a girl.
Yeah. So, something in this girl was calling out for what you heard.
I thought it was a very strange thing to say.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes you wonder how much of what we hear isn't about us, but it's about something or someone else. And the spirit in them is calling out. And our spirit is responding to their spirit calling out. And that's why we have chance encounters. That's why we get this feeling we should call somebody and give them an encouragement or something. It's not chance. Yeah, Miranda.
So I had someone say to me once,
Could you guys hear?
When I'm in a group of people who say to me, how you feel about other people is how God feels about you.
Yeah.
And so I get overwhelmed because it feels like everybody in this room is pretty amazing. So I don't necessarily get words or whatever, but I just really get overcome. A lot of feelings, a lot of emotions. So.
Yeah. Yeah. This is so much better than sitting around listening to somebody talk. Somebody over here. Janelle, do you hear something?
No.
No?
I kept seeing a shark.
You kept seeing a shark?
Yeah. I didn't hear anything, so I have no idea.
Does that mean anything to anybody? Shark?
Do, 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 do.
Dude, dude, dude. What'd you hear, Kim? I love you. We're one? Very cool. You and I must have needed to hear that. How are we going to wait till next Sunday? This is just so hard because adventure is not once a week. You know, I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know where things are going to go. But I know that we're going to come back to this. We're going to come back to the Spirit that dwells within us. We're going to come back to discovering and rediscovering and re-rediscovering and re-rediscovering and the Spirit's influence in our life and impact in our life. And I really do think I'm going to be changed. I need it. I need to be much more aware of the potential that exists in each one of us. Yeah, Jerry.
I hear the Spirit when I'm in my wood shop, and as I'm building drums that I know are what work and what work well, but there are times I think I make mistakes in the process, and the Holy Spirit continue this process. And then when I follow through and all of a sudden he says, cut it and design it this way, which happened just the other day. Dan Piper and I were in there. And the Holy Spirit showed me how to build a backpack drum that would, you can hike, but you can unravel the handle and throw it in your backpack. But he inspired me to do that because I know of a native drummer in Alaska who runs the mountains all over Alaska, and he prays and drums on the mountaintops all over Alaska, and he travels, and wherever he goes, he finds the mountain, and the Lord just told me, he says, design this for the mountain climbers, and like the song today David did about our hands are open,
yeah,
to the mountain, and the Holy Spirit is showing me so many ways, not my idea. He shows it to me, and I built four or five different drums in the last few weeks that were not me, but were them. And they're all amazing.
Yeah. And we think we're creative. You know, we think we're creative when we do things like that. Who's not to say that the Holy Spirit is stirring that up because he sees the bigger picture and he knows the connection between Jerry and this guy that needs to take the drums to the mountains, and he puts it together, and he was, if you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit was there at creation. He knows really well. In fact, he authored creation. He knows really well how creation works. So why wouldn't he be creative in us? Why wouldn't he create in us and through us? I love this. We'll maybe go here a little bit. The last section where it says the Holy Spirit with you, in you, and on you. Bill Johnson was saying, he is in me for me, but on me for you. He's in you for you, Jerry, but he's on you for all these other people who need what you have, what you bring to the table. Same thing with all, I mean, it's true of all of us. He's in us for us, but he's on us. He comes on us for the benefit of the people around us. That's why we need each other so much. That's why we can't deny that it's a powerful thing that happens when we get together, because he comes on us. I think that he comes on us a lot of times for the sake of other people. Let's stand. I want to learn how to unlock potential. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me learn how to unlock potential. Anybody else want that? Unlock potential? Yeah. So let's pray for it together. If that's you, just hold out your hands like you're receiving a gift. We ask, Lord, for the key to unlock potential. You said that if we need something to ask for it, we're asking for the keys to unlock potential, not just in ourselves, but in our children, grandchildren, to unlock potential in the people that we work with, our friends, our family. I pray that you give us the keys to unlock the potential of the city, the culture here, the way we do life here. I want to unlock the potential of the culture here and just see it explode, Lord. And so it catches the attention of everyone around there going, what is going on in Longview? Not that there was another crime or there was another disaster, but there's an explosion of what exists in the heart of the city. Lord, let this place come to life. Let Kelso Longview come to life. Let my family come to life. Let this congregation and every other congregation in this city just explode with the potential that exists in them. We are created for something. We weren't created to be an audience. We are created to be alive. That the breath of God, the spirit of the pneuma of God would come out of us and infiltrate and affect everything around us. Lord, I pray for Randy that you'd unlock the potential that's in him right now, Lord. Unlock the potential. For those who are sick, they've received diagnoses that are like warrants, even curses upon their life. Unlock those things and let them fall off like chains. Unlock arthritic conditions, Lord Jesus, allergies, clogged vessels. Unlock the potential that exists in us as believers. Let us see things and hear things we haven't even imagined yet because we haven't seen the potential of what exists inside of us. Unlock us, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the promises that you've given us. We've yet to discover those promises in any kind of fullness, but we pray that in the days ahead, the weeks ahead, the months ahead, you'd begin to unlock the potential in us to understand you, but also walk with you hand in hand and cooperate with you and fellowship with you and let you love us. Do you know the Holy Spirit loves you? The Holy Spirit has emotions, and one of those emotions is the love, the Father's love. He loves you with a Father's heart. He loves living inside of you. He loves dwelling with you. He loves commingling with you. He loves it. We're just so grateful. As a people, we're so grateful. Don't stop speaking to us. Don't stop working through us. Don't stop loving us. Don't stop, Holy Spirit. But we say yes, more and more and more of you in our lives. We want more and more realization, revelation of who you are in us, Jesus. Walk with us as we leave this place. Lead us and guide us. Give us faith and hope and love and trust. Let us believe like never more. Like never before, Lord, let us believe that you are real in us. Thank you so much. Thank you for your love. Thank you. Amen.